Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Welcome to North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 7:06 on a Thursday, May 20th. We're broadcasting on KCNR1460.com. We're streaming on that. Just go to our website, and you can hear us all over. The phone number you can reach us at 605-4567. If you want to send us an email, send it to Linda at KCNR1460.com. What a day. We've got a full show. I mean, absolutely a full show. We have politicians. We have events going on. But the first thing I'd like to say before I even introduce anybody is a happy birthday. Yeah, that's right. It's a happy birthday to Gunnery Sergeant Bill Phelan.
All right.
It's Bill's 80th birthday.
Go
he
Bill.
Heads up the Order of the Purple Heart. This man, when I'm 80, I hope I have half the energy this gentleman has. I can't say enough for the Gunny. He is a stalwart in community affairs here in Reading. And you know what, Bill? Happy birthday and Semper Fi, sir.
He is a vital man.
He is, and I tell you, I can't say enough about him. And, of course, we're joined today by Eric, who is still hanging in there, even though I've been abusing him daily.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
And you're going to be pretty strong at the end of the week.
Probably will.
And then we got Saturday.
Yeah, that's right, a whole day Saturday.
And, of course, speaking of strong and forceful, it's my bride.
Oh, good morning. You know it's going to be a beautiful day. High of 70 today. It's currently 43 degrees. We love it when the sun comes poking out. And did you watch American Idol last night? I really do believe that, too. I have kind of been in and out following that and Dancing with the Stars, and I do think in both instances, both American Idol and Dancing with the Stars, the two best are at the top, which is always wonderful. Which brings me to Friday night. Tomorrow night is Senior Idol. I think there may be just a few tickets left. There are the top ones at the very top row, but if you want to go, it really is a wonderful night, and I've had the great honor of judging, and I did the last year was the first year. It was really great. But, you know, we're going to be announcing things through the day. We have, like Carl said, we have the auxiliary Coast Guard calling in with some safety boat tips. We have just the day is
Assemblyman Jim Nielsen
is going
in.
To be called. We have the day is filled with lots of stuff, but you've got something. You know what you've got? You know what? Do you have like a craw? Is your something stuck in your craw,
well,
Carl?
There's a few things here, but it started yesterday when the president of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, hit out Wednesday on discrimination against Mexican immigrants in Arizona. And what bothers me about this is that here's a leader of a third world nation can have the guts to stand up at the White House and berate us for protecting our borders when his corrupt government does nothing to stop the exodus from this country. Yes, he is doing he is fighting drugs. 22,000 people killed during this drug war. But is he saying anything about the sanctity of our borders? What about the people, if you tried to go into Mexico, you could not do it? Their rules are very strict. If we just use the rules for Mexico's immigration, we wouldn't have to worry about it, but we don't. And what even bothers me more is he is chastising one of our states who has the right to make the state laws. And not only make the state laws, they're doing it out of desperation because the federal government won't do anything, has not done anything, and this has been for years, that President Obama is standing right next to him, and he says, yes, he agrees with him. Now, it's true President Obama also said, you know, the American people are quite tired of this. Well, we're more than tired of this. We're seeing billions and billions and billions of dollars continue to be spent on illegals, for illegals, and billions of dollars sent back to Mexico. Of course, it's, you know, this $1 billion that goes back to Mexico helps keep their economy afloat. They're in such, you know, dire straits. But to have the president of Mexico who is encouraging it, who calls it migration, It's not migration. It's illegal immigration. They're coming across the borders illegally. Migration connotates some kind of, oh, yeah, we're just going to, you know, we're going the right way. No, you're not. It's illegal. And President Obama, you need to stand up. You need to stand up and secure our borders. You take a look at Tuesday. People are fed up. They're fed up in most cases about what the government is going. Every poll shows they think the government's going in the wrong direction, that the Congress is at a 20% approval rating. There's a reason for this. It's because you people are not doing your job. And when a state stands up and the only thing it does is it reiterates the federal laws on immigration, you attack it. And you're, the two people that should have read the bill who are commenting about how unfair it is, Holder, the attorney general, which is a laugh, and Neopanotalo, who is the one that got Arizona into this trouble, neither one of them have read the Arizona bill. I don't know about you, but it just frosts me that we've got these people in charge and that our president didn't stop and just look at President Calderon and say, well, you know, a lot of this trouble is caused by you, Felipe. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl Lindebaugh, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we have Assemblyman Jim Nielsen on the line. Jim, good morning. Jim, good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Jim. How you doing? We're having a little, you know.
We have a new producer, and I've broken two of his fingers so far. I'm going for his other hand here.
We need some black coffee. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. A good North State morning to you all.
Yeah. You're calling today. You said you wanted to talk about the budget.
Well, I do have something to talk about regarding the budget, but I would also like to use your radio show for a little bit of a scoop for the North State folks. Carl, Linda, every year each legislator selects a veteran of the year, one who exemplifies the true spirit of the military and just true allegiance to the country, great contributions and sacrifices made for our nation, and even their post-military career, great successes. And this year, Carl, it'll be my honor to announce Carl Bott as the 2nd Assembly District Veteran of the Year. So,
well,
we'll be bringing you down to Sacramento, and all
wow.
of the honorees will be recognized. It's quite a pomp and ceremony thing.
Wow.
It'll be a very nice luncheon.
Well, you've made me speechless here.
I think he is. He's sitting there, I have to say, for those people who are listening, Carl usually has words, but he...
Well, you know, it's even a bigger deal in districts that have a lot of military veterans who reside, and our district always has, and more seem to come, and with all the wonderful things that have been happening up there with a lot of your veterans leaders and community leaders over the last many years who have done so much to get the veterans cemetery, now the veterans home, which we're all going to be there together, Carl, kicking off tomorrow. You know, it's even more important in a district like the 2nd District. And, you know, things that I've always admired about you is you did your service for the country. But, you know, then when you retired and you came back into the community and you became a community leader and a participant in the events of our community, but you remained a strong, profound leader for the military, advocating on behalf of victims and particularly the MIAs. And I value that. And the people of California need to recognize it. And that's what they're going to do here in a couple of weeks when we bring you down to the Capitol. If you can, and I'm sure you can be there, my friend. You've got to be there.
Oh, you know, of course I'll be there. It's such an honor. And I can just say that I know of 10 people that probably deserve this more than me, if not,
well, I'll tell you
if
what,
not a dozen.
I'm going to have about four more years to pick some, and I sure will be seeking your advice on worthy ones. I know so many. You know, we've probably got the thousands of them in the second district.
There are. There's so many. There's so many that do so much here.
And
you know,
almost daily. I mean, I know these ladies and men are working daily on behalf of veterans, and we do know so many, Carl. But you're certainly one most worthy of it, and I admire that. You know, if you put together the radio show, you and Linda, and you're speaking of veterans' issues there all the time to a far broader audience than just the military community. I think that these things really help get support throughout our communities for the veterans. People who don't necessarily think about veterans' issues, but on your show they hear about them and get tuned in. And by golly, I'm looking forward to being there with you tomorrow.
Well, you know, again, thank you so much. Thanks so much, Jim. Like I said, it's such an honor, and I'm dumbfounded. But thank you so much.
You're maybe dumbfounded but deserving, and the tomorrow will be kind of special for me in a deja vu kind of way, Carl, Linda, because all my years serving you folks in the Senate, I also represented the Veterans Home at Yountville. I represented Napa County all my years in the Senate. And that was the very first Veterans Home, beginning in the late 1800s, having had actual Civil War veterans who resided there at the Veterans Home. It was such a holy and peaceful and wonderful place, the Veterans Home in Yountville. I always enjoyed going so many times a year to events up there and being with the veterans, you know, as they that wonderful environment for them to live secure and safe, supported, and recognized. And that's what you folks who've provided this leadership, so many of you, your former legislators like Senator Johanson, Assemblyman LaMalfa, that done so much, Molly Wilson and others that have done so much to get that veterans home. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing for decades to come, serving our veterans up in the North State.
Yeah, we're so proud of the efforts of our people that had this happen. This is such a good thing to happen to the North State, you know, for this veterans home to start. And it's just like you said, it's going to be a place of solitude and beauty for our veterans that need this, that need to be there. And I applaud, of course, we all applaud everybody that had anything to do with this. And tomorrow is going to be just a great event. And this weekend, of course, is there's so many things going on this weekend too that we're going to be talking about that for veterans.
Well, you know, that's the point that just comes to mind, Carl. You know, how many you can't just recognize that are so deserving. The hundreds who worked so hard for the Veterans Cemetery, the Veterans Home, and now Maurice is working on the Veterans Chapel out there. And, you know, you just can't recognize them all, but by virtue of their efforts, all are recognized.
Well, you know, and if they will let me, I will accept this in behalf of everybody that does so much around here. So
I believe you have their trust, my friend. Well, rolling on into the budget, I hope that negotiations are going to accelerate and meetings are going to be occurring with more regularity to get a conclusion, get a budget on time, June 15th. It's a big budget hole, Carl. It's a lesser hole than about a year ago. Progress has been made. $20 billion has been reduced from the budget. And a lot of needy things still got funded. And guess what? The state didn't fall apart.
Well,
we get $20 billion less money spent, and everything seems to be going okay.
Well, if we could just find a ways it's a find a way to balance the budget. You know, what can we say? You know, we've got billions going out to people that shouldn't be here, and so many programs. And so many programs that are out there, and now people have become to depend on these programs that when it's pulled away, it's just, I mean, it's they're devastated by them, something that shouldn't probably have even started.
They sure are, and the schools are hurting, too. I'm going to be up Friday after the ceremonies to go up to Costella and tour the school and talk to the folks up there, and there's a lot of anxiety. I'm pretty comfortable that Prop 98 support will be there. It's going to be a tough year for the schools at all levels, no doubt about it. But I believe we're going to get through it. And frankly, the goal is to fund schools as absolutely best as can. And I believe that the Republicans and Democrats alike are are very dedicated to that, Carl. We do owe it to our children to do our best. But the point you made, there are so many competing interests that just demand and need. And some are, you know, unwilling to accept anything even a penny less. But I've told everybody, every budget hearing we have, look, don't just come here and say more. There is not any more. Come and tell us how you can do more with less. that's what we need to hear. How can you do more with less?
Yeah, and it's not when you don't have the money. Hey, Jim, we have to take a quick break here.
Danny, bye.
All right. This is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Clearly, news talk radio.
Did you know?
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl on the Bot, KCNR 1460. Jim.
Hey, Carl, I'll be signing off, but a quick additional recognition this very day. I'll have 10 of the young Marines at the state capitol for our legislative session, where I will be recognizing these North State young Marines. What a fine bunch of youth aspiring to be Marine officers like Carl Bott and great contributors, great citizens. So we'll be recognizing some young Marines in a couple of hours.
Well, you know, that's great. You know, that's our future, and we've got to really support them. And, Jim, thank you so much for the honor.
You betcha. Have
hope
a great
to see
day, everybody.
Thank you.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Hope to see you tomorrow at the groundbreaking of the beautiful Veterans
we'll be
Home.
There.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey, gosh, again, I'm dumbstruck.
Hey, you know, May 22nd, speaking of such a patriotic morning, on May 22nd, of course, at Hilltop Estates, we have a gentleman here by the name of Dal Niedheimer. Niedheimer. I don't know why. It's one of those, like, where something's silent and it just trips me up. But good morning, Dal.
Good morning.
And, oh, listen to that voice. Woo! And
Dal looks like his voice.
Yeah.
You don't want to really, like, bump into him and spit on his chest.
Dal could take you down with one look.
Thank you.
Well, okay, so May 22nd, we are having a special barbecue that's a very patriotic event. Share with our listeners what's going on, time, place, the event, et cetera.
Yes, good morning. And I'd like to reiterate, Mr. Bott, that's a well-deserved an award to represent our veterans, our military, and the little amount that I've known of you and Linda, it's well-deserved. And from all the community, from veterans, police, fire, they talk highly about you and the program that you and your wife run down here. Well-deserved.
Well, thank you, Dal. Thank you.
Saturday, to follow the great event that's happening Friday, Saturday, we've planned a patriotic barbecue from 1,600 hours to 1,900 hours in honor of our veterans and those that serve our community. It'll be a free tri-tip chicken. We'll have numerous exhibits on display. Everything is free. We're giving a two-day cruise away. You just have to pay to travel to get to the ship. We're going to have an Army wakeboard, Army snowboard, numerous other door prizes. It's all in honor of our veterans, our current military. We want to continue the great things that are happening in the North State for our veterans.
Now, we're going to have, and 1,600 hours for you civilians is 4 p.m., and it goes till 7 p.m. But you're going to have exhibits there. Are going to be the Missing in America Honors at Arlington, Northern California Museum and Heritage Center, U.S. Army Future Soldier Trainer Tent, Patrick Wilson, Watson, who's an author and a veteran of Watson's really big World War II almanac and owns the sandwich shop down the street.
That's correct.
Great guy. You know what? We really like Patrick.
Yeah.
He is a good man. We've had him on before. The Huey helicopter from NorCal Veterans Historical Association and veteran Jack O'Patrick's fully loaded original World War II Jeep. Now, there's many more things. We have to take our news break. When we come back, we're going to bring Dal back. We're going to talk about it some more. And I'll tell you when and how to get there. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
It is the Walk of Life. Good morning. It's Thursday, May 20th. If you're just waking up, it's 7:34 in the morning. Want to know about the weather? It's currently 47 degrees. Going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 70. And, boy, I'll tell you what, we are getting closer to the evening, closer to the end of the week with so many calls and information. We want to say that the weather is always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway.
Our guest is Dal Niedheimer, and he is from Hilltop Estates. They are having a great event this weekend on May 22nd, and they're going to have tri-tip. They're going to have things cooking. They're going to be having all types
barbecue.
Of exhibits on a display. This is going to be a patriotic day. United States Army Color Guard, Sons of the American Revolution Color Guard, flyovers, Pledge of Allegiance, a release of doves.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome.
You know, that can be dangerous in, around Reading. Now, release of doves. There could be, like, you know.
Tell us the time again, and do we need tickets? And then, of course, I want to talk about the door prizes.
No, absolutely not. You don't need any tickets. Just show up with your family. You'll fill out a slip up there. There's no cost. Come inside, meet and greet with our veterans that live there. Have a great time. They'll select at 6 p.m. We'll do the drawings, and we'll take it from the slip that you fill out. No cost whatsoever.
So this is just a wonderful outreach of thank you to our veterans.
That's correct. There should be no charge. I mean, our veterans are why we're sitting here today in this radio station. And God bless our veterans, and God bless our surviving spouses.
Man, that is awesome. It just coincides with everything that's happening right now in our world, as well as in our community tomorrow, especially with the Veterans Home groundbreaking, and then, of course, your beautiful patriotic barbecue. Let's talk about a couple things that are going to be those door prizes, which is just like icing on the cake. It's a seven-day cruise for two, and or a U.S. Army snowboard and a U.S. Army wakeboard and a six-month membership to Everyday Health Spa, $250 gas cards, and Missing in America book, and those are wonderful door prizes.
That Honors to Arlington is a beautiful book, absolutely a beautiful book, and costs like $8,500, something like that. You know, it's the one from the Missing in America project went back to Arlington.
Right, beautiful pictures.
Absolutely beautiful.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, one of these things that you're doing, is your Outdoor Patriotic Wall, and this is kind of a big event that you're doing, too, Dal.
Yeah, our long-term goal is on Hilltop Drive, which is well used by traffic and walkers and joggers, is to build a patriotic wall up there, 4x8. It'll be laser designed by a local person. And that's our long-term goal, to get community support to build that wall. And when you bring the community together with the corporation, Holiday Retirement Corporation, and our veterans, I think it shows more heart and more character than just going to a bank and drawing out the money. So we want the community support, and we hope to get as many people at our barbecue to see the ground that we would like to put that wall on.
You know, the honor wall is going to cost about $10,000, and all businesses or individuals who donate $100 or more toward the building of this community patriotic wall, you're going to have your name lasered on the wall.
That's correct. We'll accept any donations, but those for over 100, yeah, we'll put your name on the wall of the contribution, and if you have a past letter from your dad or mom regarding some kind of veteran experience, we'll even laser that on the wall also.
Well, that's great. Okay, Dal, now it's going to be May 22nd, Saturday, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at 451 Hilltop Drive here in Reading at Hilltop Estates.
That's correct.
You know, this is really great. I mean, all the things you're doing, and you know, you and Corina, it's just outstanding. What can I say?
We have a great management team. We also have Diane and Guy Cox, who are their management team, and they didn't get to come down this morning, but we have a great management team. The four of us put our heads together, and we have a great time doing veterans events.
All right, and thank you so much for your service, both you and your wife and everybody there at Hilltop Estates, for making our veterans feel welcome and have a place they can go to where they feel appreciated for their service. Very important.
It is. It's y'all do wonderful things. So thank you so much.
May 22nd.
Hilltop Estates, May 22nd. It's a great event.
We're going to have to take a break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott. I'm taking your emails to Linda at KCNR1460.com. Coming up, we've got a very special guest as well, Captain Patrick McGuire, who is the United States Coast Guard Chief for the Prevention Division, 11th District. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. What a day we've had. Jim Nielsen's here. We had Dal Needhammer here from the Hilltop Estates. What a great thing they're doing. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley have the finest tobacco emporium in the North State, a great walk-in humidor. Then they have Espresso Joe's to get that coffee served hot, served the way you want it, any kind you want, lattes, with, without, you know, all those things that people do. Then you can go next door and sit down and drink your coffee and have your computer there for that Wi-Fi.
You know
Joe and Chili, great American.
They are so phenomenal. And, Boating Safety Week is coming up. And with us this morning, we have two auxiliary members from the North State, Dan Wigland and Lonnie Singer. Good morning.
Good morning to both of you.
And it's a bird, it's a plane, it's the U.S. Coast Guard.
You got it.
And it's Safe Boating Week from May 16th to May 22nd. And you all are going to have a major event on Saturday starting at 10 a.m. You want to talk about that?
Sure. Well, this is the beginning of North American Safe Boating Week, and the whole idea behind this is that you are to be encouraged to wear your life jacket. The people that don't wear life jackets are most susceptible to drowning. It's about 95% of the people that drown are not wearing life jackets.
Really? That high of a percentage?
Yeah, and most of them think they know how to swim.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bob Belongi's always like when Carl went across the Sacramento River with Patrick Jones on the Tea Party, he said, you better wear a life jacket.
And he's
really adamant about that. But now when you hear those statistics.
This is just another amphibious operation. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Captain Patrick McGuire of the United States Coast Guard, Chief Prevention Division from the 11th District. Captain McGuire, you on the line?
Good morning. Good morning.
Sorry to keep you waiting, but we've had kind of one of those mornings, you know.
Thank you for being with us.
Can you tell us
Can
you tell us what's going on this week with the National Safe Boating Week?
Well, this is an annual event to highlight the boating safety across the country. So everybody's doing stuff all over, just like you hear Dan and Lonnie talking about for your region up there. So there'll be boating safety events. It's a big push from the Coast Guard to get people to pay attention and be ready for the boating season.
Do we know how many people drown each year from boating accidents on lakes and streams and stuff, lakes and rivers?
Too many. When the Coast Guard, we're all about saving lives. So I don't know exact numbers in different regions, but it's way too many, and it's preventable.
And that's what they were saying. We're saying that it was 95% is caused by people not wearing a life jacket.
Well, 95% of the cases where people do drown, they were not wearing their life jackets. And there's a great set of videos just produced by the Water Safety Congress. It's called Cold Water Boot Camp, actually. And these videos highlight that if you fall in cold water, you think you might go hypothermic in 5 or 10 minutes, but that's a myth. What actually happens is you just can't swim, you can't function within 5 minutes, and you drowned. If you had a life jacket on, you would have survived at least an hour. So that's another reason to have your life jacket on.
Wow, that's significant.
And you could be 5 feet from help, 5 feet from your boat, 5 feet from the ladder to the dock, and you won't get there without your life jacket.
So this weekend, during the event on May 22nd, they're going to be checking your equipment. Like, for instance, is your life jacket really worthy? I mean, let's think about it. You may have a life jacket that's, 20 years old, stuck in the back. You know, you bought maybe at a garage sale. Is it really, will an old life jacket still be worthy?
The great thing you can have is a free safety check. You can get a free boating safety course. You can get a free check of your vessel. And we have volunteers. We have the greatest volunteers in the world, and they're out there at your boat ramp and your docks to help you out and check your stuff for you.
Yeah, well, they're going to be there at Whiskey Town National Park at the Brandy Creek Marina. Starting at 10 a.m. on May 22nd, they're going to have a number of things, California Highway Patrol helicopter, heavy equipment from the Army National Guard, National Park Service, National Weather Service, and West Marine will all have exhibits and handouts for the public. And so they're also going to be doing that safety check, looking at the, for safety whistles, keychain floats, pamphlets, and other items that are going to be given away free of charge. This group you have up here, Captain, is a very active group, I can tell you that.
And I know, they're awesome.
And they look really good in the parades, too.
Yeah. And they get in their boat, and it's pulled around. I don't know. Do you issue those 50 caliber machine guns to all your auxiliaries? They said something about keeping Whiskey Town and Shasta Lake safe from Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Because you are part of the Homeland Security Group, right?
Well, they are great people, and without them, I can't imagine what the numbers in boating accidents would be without them. They're terrific.
Well, they're very well respected in our community, that's for sure.
Well, any closing thoughts, Captain McGuire, before we go back and we talk to to Lonnie Singer and
Dan Wiglin.
Yeah.
My big thing is be prepared. Coast Guard's motto is Semper Paratus, which is always ready, and you can't be always ready if you're not prepared. It's not easy. It takes time, so take that time before you go boating to be ready and wear your life jacket. It's better than a seatbelt.
Absolutely. Well, Captain, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Dan and Lonnie just on some specifics for people to do and things to watch out for. Carl Undabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Onside.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. Let's go to the phones. Ron, you're on line 12.
Okay, hi. Tomorrow morning, in honor of the groundbreaking, the Country Pride Restaurant at the TA truck stop at Knighton Road and I-5 is offering to all veterans and their wives a free pancake and eggs breakfast from 6 o'clock until about 9:30.
That's great.
Wanted to get the word out.
Tell us again where that's at.
It's at Interstate 5 and Knighton Road right there. It's the big truck stop, the TA truck stop.
Yeah, that's you know what? That is so good of them to do that.
Yeah, it's the only time that they've done something like this in the history of the chain, and they're just wanting to honor veterans. And so they're offering this to veterans and their wives and widows of veterans, by the way.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you.
Yeah, they can come in, and it's unlimited pancakes and eggs so they can fill up before they go out to the groundbreaking.
That's right. All right, thank you
Ron. Thank you so much for that, Ron.
See you tomorrow.
All right, you bet.
Getting back, you know, it is North American Safe Boating Week that's going on this week currently between now the 16th and the 22nd. And the theme this year is Boat Smart, Boat Safe, Wear It. This morning we're with the gents here from the Northern California Auxiliary. And you know what? There are 55 members in the Reading Flotilla, number 39, including Bob and Brenda Belongi. And we know that Bad Bob is very passionate about being involved with the Auxiliary.
He wears his life jacket in here.
But one of the things you were saying at the break, Dan, was something about, you know, when you buy a pack of, I think our listeners really need to hear this specifically, because, you know, there could be lots of information that's flying around, but this is something that you can really hold on to. You buy a pack. Well, just share it.
Okay. You heard Captain McGuire talk about the life jackets and how they work. A lot of people go to West Marine, Boat US, any other store, Walmart, and they buy a five-pack of life jackets, and they have a little bag, and they're all in plastic bags. And they think, oh, that's really neat. That keeps the little critters out, and it also keeps them, you know, not dusty and grimy. The problem is they're not accessible. So to be legal, they have to be approved, which all the life jackets will have a Coast Guard, U.S. Coast Guard approval number on them, and it'll have a speed rating as well. And they need to be out of the plastic bag. So you have to be able to grab them in case of an emergency. And don't forget that children 13 years and under need to wear a life jacket on the boat at all times and even on the docks.
Okay, so you guys do this inspection stuff for free.
Yeah, everything we do is free. We're the good guys.
And that's what this Saturday is about. Bring your stuff and get it inspected.
We'll inspect it. There's a list of about 20 things that we check on the boat to see if you have. And these are safety things such as lights and the horn and ventilation. Make sure it's, you know, you're not going to asphyxiate yourself. And if you don't pass it, that's okay. You're not going to get a ticket, but you can take your certificate or the inspection sheet to any West Marine in the country. You'll get a 10% discount on any safety equipment. You can have it inspected again. Again, it's a free thing, and we get credit for two of them that way. And then if you pass, you'll get a sticker on the side of the boat, and generally it will keep law enforcement away from you if you are driving properly, because the sheriff's deputies or the rangers at Whiskeytown will know that you've had you have the safety equipment, and you know the general boating safety rules.
You've gone through the procedure, so you have the sticker on the windshield of your boat. I was wondering about that. If you get like little wings or something, little sticker that you could. How about that, Lonnie? Do you get one of those little?
No, you don't get wings for your. the sticker on there. It just it's one of the things there that lets folks know that your boat has all the proper equipment.
You don't get like a little Coast Guard pin or anything.
That's
to wear?
What I meant. Little pin that. You
little
can
Coast Guard hat
on your lapel.
If there's kids aboard, there are things that we do with the kids. We have stuff for the kids.
Missiles.
Okay, now the lake is full, so we know that this year, if people have never boated, they're going to be inspired to go out and boat. And so these things are you don't get on a motorcycle and ride. You need to really take the safety classes and find out more information about that. You guys cover not only Whiskey Town, but tell us the areas you cover.
Well, we cover a huge area. We have an attachment that's down in Chico, and so we're covering basically from Marysville up to the Oregon border, from Nevada over to, Trinity Lake is one of our lakes also that we cover. So we're covering a huge area when you're looking at water volume for where it's at. There's nine different lakes, and it's about 185 miles of Sacramento River.
On the river itself, do you see people getting a lot of problems out on the river?
Yes.
More problems than in the lake, would you say?
The problems on the river are a lot different than the problems on the lake because of being cold water, you know, up here in Redding where the river is about 50 degrees, so the time in the water is short. And they think our river up here, oh, it's nice and sweet, it's nice and slow. Well, there's a lot of things there that you have to be careful of. So it's different in the river compared to the lake because the lake, you know, summertime on Shasta Lake, the water is going to be 80 degrees plus. Well, summertime, 110 degrees, Sacramento River at 50 degrees, you can get in trouble very quickly, like the captain was saying.
Okay,
now you guys meet at the first Wednesday of each month at the Veterans Memorial Hall. So this would also be great. If people can't make it on the 22nd, they can still come the first Wednesday of every month to the Veterans Hall at 7 p.m., right? And you guys will be, you know, what do you usually do in those meetings?
Well, it's a business meeting for one, so we go over the activities that we've had the past month, and it's a social event. Every other month, we also have a dinner, so that starts at 6 o'clock. And we'd encourage anybody that ever thought about boating or want to volunteer, we're all volunteer, we don't get paid, to come, hopefully join. That's another way that people come is by taking the boating safety classes. And that is one that my wife thought it'd be a good idea if I went to see how it was, and I ended up joining the auxiliary after.
Well, the question is that if somebody's not computer literate, how does one get in touch with you?
Number one, you can look in the phone book, the Shasta County Directory, or Shasta Directory, Shasta Tehama. Look under the blue pages where it has the government section under recruiting, military. There you go, Carl. You'll find the Coast Guard. There's an 866 number, which is the recruiter in Eureka, and the next number is mine in Palo Cedro.
Right. Can I give your phone number there?
Sure can.
547-4951. And this way you can get a hold and get some more information about it. We'll put it if you get, and you have your own website. And,
correct.
And we'll put a link up there. Okay. Hey, our guests have been, Dan Wegland and Lonnie Singer from the Coast Guard Auxiliary, who has a larger area than any other place in the United States. And it's National Safe Boating Week. They're going to be out at Whiskey Town at 10 a.m. at Brandy Creek Marina
parking lot.
So if you Saturday.
Want
your,
so if you want Saturday. It, so mm-hmm. if you want something inspected, that's the way to do it. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. It is 8:06 a.m. Time for our second segment here. You can call us at 605-4567. You can hear a stream at KCNR1460.com. And you can write to Linda. Linda at KCNR1460.com.
That's right. Did I just talk over you? Mostly sunny today, around 70. I think I'm loving the weather. I don't know. I'm feeling a little caged up today. I'm not sure what that's about. I think it's, you know, you just start to get ready for the roll of the, you know, the weather change, and then you can't really quite get there because it's too sunny. But tomorrow, I'm sure hoping it's going to be a beautiful day for the groundbreaking ceremony out at on Airport Road, on Knighton Road. That's going to be a spectacular event. You don't want to miss it. It is historical. We do have a T-shirt.
We have a T-shirt to give away. And this will be, it's like we've given away two others. It includes a lunch ticket there, too. But this T-shirt is one of a kind. It's for the Veterans Home for the groundbreaking ceremony. And we're going to give this away to a caller. Say the first caller that calls us at 605-4567. You're going to get this one-of-a-kind T-shirt and a ticket to the lunch for tomorrow at the groundbreaking ceremony. And this is going to be a huge thing. What a day. You know, the governor is going to have any number of other people that show up for this. You know, we, of course, are going to be there. We would never miss something like this, and so much hard work has gone into it.
And, of course, we have all of our candidates that are running for office on, and we're going to be in our office, in our station today right now is Chris Young. But before we go to Chris, we want to encourage you tomorrow while you are driving out to the breaking of
The groundbreaking
for the veterans. Am I just tripping over? You know, I'm going to let you talk today. Tell them what we encourage them to do for the free sound system.
Their BNT satellite's giving away a completely wireless free sound system worth $450. All you have to do is go to BNT Satellite right off Airport Road on Charlon Drive and just sign up. That's it. You just have to walk in. If you've got an iPhone, cassette, it means an 8-track, CD, pod, or any other type of electronic equipment that plays music, this system will work for you. And then you can, and they will also install it for you or bring it out to you, show you how it works. BNT Satellite. They're located again on Charlon Drive, just off Airport Road. They've been in business since 1985. They want to give you a free wireless sound system for the summer.
So just walk in there and fill out the form, and we're going to be out there on the 28th, right before Memorial Day weekend, doing a live broadcast, and then we're going to draw a name. You'll be able to have it set up and ready to go for the weekend. Sounds awesome, huh?
Yeah. And, hey, Dan, you won the T-shirt, so come by and pick it up today.
Now, it's really been a wonderful season. I mean, people have just been really coming forth to run for office, to get involved. And with us today is Chris Young, who is running for District 5 in the supervisor position. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
So, Chris, you know, in case people don't know you and you know, who you are, where you come from, just introduce yourself to our audience.
Well, I'm a longtime resident of Shasta County, a longtime resident of District 5. I've been an active real estate agent in Shasta County for 20 years. I've been on the Redding Planning Commission for the last 6 years, this last year as chairman of the Redding Planning Commission, and that's me.
When you say, you know, on the Redding Planning Commission, there's been a number of things that have come up that have been a little, I shouldn't say, the word's not strange, but there's been some things that have come up that other information came out later, like the hotel. Do you have any, like, being able to, you passed one item that then you found out the next week that the hotel, they were talking about the hotel for Turtle
Bay? You're talking about what was presented to the Planning Commission,
right,
as a cleanup item having to do with public facilities,
right,
zoned properties, and it didn't mention commercial operations on the Turtle Bay Convention Center campus. It did mention commercial operations on public facility zoned properties like the airport. And then a week later, it was presented by staff to the Redding City Council as being discussed by the Planning Commission and their approval. And the Planning Commission probably would have approved it, but we did not discuss commercial development and a hotel on the Turtle Bay campus.
Did you feel like the staff kind of ran one by you or not?
I think that we all felt that way. You know, I think that it was not just an oversight. It, and that's one of the reasons I'm running for office, is I think that the staff at the city level, staff at the county level, are in control more than most people realize, and that that they put things in front of the elected officials that sometimes the elected officials get fooled once in a while.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you, because everybody who has been on this running for office, why, what made you decide? What was your aha moment that made you say, okay, I, Chris Young, am going to throw my hat in the ring and I am running, which is, it's not easy to do this, but what made you decide to?
Well, I started on this journey many years ago and really started planning on running for this office 10 years ago and positioning myself to run for this office this year when my children are out of high school. And, you know, so there wasn't any one big aha moment. It was a combination of concern about the direction of the county, concern about the attitude towards business development and expansion of businesses to so that entrepreneurs and business owners could have the opportunity to hire more people locally. It was concern about the treatment that the taxpayer gets when they want to provide, you know, do a project with their property, want to subdivide, want to expand their business, want to subdivide their property, want to put a house in out on the back 40 for grandma rather than put grandma in a home, and the difficulties they run into in just trying to take care of their own on their own piece of property. And so it's a combination of all these things over the years.
Well, we've got to take a quick break, Chris. When we come back, I want to talk about that, because, you know, especially the fact that the staff seems to have an inordinate amount of power at the County Board of Supervisors.
And we're also taking your calls. If you have a call for Chris, Chris Young, 605-4567. Also taking your emails that we can also pose those questions over the air at Linda at KCNR1460.com. We'll see you after these messages.
I'm Les.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Clearly News Talk Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. That was Enigma. And what's the name of that?
Return to Innocence.
Return to Innocence,
which
is where we are right now. We've returned to innocence. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Chris Young, who's running for the District 5 Supervisor, and we've just been talking about staff there at the supervisor's level. Do you see are there instances of the staff doing things that's harming business in this county?
Good question. Caught me off guard there. I don't have a specific instance of staff harming business in the county. It's an attitude of we get a paycheck on Friday and come back with your proposal when your proposal will fly. It's an attitude that we've got business here. We need to be more business friendly. We need to have an environment that's conducive to business expansion, so that businesses can hire more people. When we've got the attitude changed, then the perception will change that Shasta County is more business friendly. And when the perception's changed, then we can go out to the world and promote Shasta County as being open for business. Staff needs to treat the taxpayer, the average person walking into the counter, like they're the most valued customer. And they need to treat you and me the same as they would treat a major corporation wanting to do a project.
Well, you know, I've heard so many anecdotal incidents of just travesties coming from some of the regulation departments of Shasta, Shasta County.
I mean,
and you've heard them too. I mean, and people, when I said, well, we need to talk about this. No, don't say anything because it'll just get worse. I mean, government, we're fearing our government, a bunch of petty little bureaucrats who can put a little mark in a book and shut down a fundraiser. I mean, I'm not kidding you. These are things that I'm hearing, and I'm going, well, who in the hell is in charge of these people?
Ultimately, the supervisors are in charge, but if they're not paying attention, then staff can do whatever they want.
Hello? Yeah.
There's a group of guys trying to start a business in Shasta County, in one of these vacant large buildings out there in an industrial zoned area southeast of Anderson, and they need air quality credits in order to start up their business. They want to do a recycling business, and they're up against this roadblock that is almost insurmountable, and there's really no help for them. It's figure it out on your own. Go find some credits for particulate matter in the air that you can trade with somebody else, so that you can start up this recycling business. Huh? We want green jobs. Well, recycling is green, and yet somebody that wants to open a business in a properly zoned area can't employ people and get up and running because of some history with trading air quality credits between businesses. It has nothing to do with them specifically.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Chris Young, who's running for District 5 supervisor. When we get back, let's talk about property rights. Let's talk about your issue with property rights and your platform regarding that. This is Carla Linda Bott, currently 48 degrees. Today is May 20th. It's 8:19. You're listening to KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio.
Onside.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's Thursday, May 20th, and tomorrow is a huge day. We're talking about a groundbreaking ceremony for the Veterans Home out in Knighton Road. That starts at 10:30, but trust me, get there by 10 o'clock at the latest so you can get parking. It was mentioned that there was going to be parking over at the airport, and that's not true. So it's going to be parking. They're going to have parking areas there. Yeah, there's not going to be parking by the airport and buses. This is what I was told yesterday. Something else is really, really big, and she's not in here right now. Tomorrow is Linda's birthday. So she is, I'm not going to mention how old you, she doesn't care if you know, but I'll let her do that. Anyway, tomorrow is Linda's birthday, and so we're going to be celebrating that tomorrow and over the weekend. Our guest today is Chris Young, running for District 5 supervisor, and we've thrown some questions out there to Chris. We got one in from one of our listeners that said, what about the marijuana problems? Use of marijuana and selling and growing has exploded in Shasta County. You know, is there going to be any changes that you see coming?
Well, I'm sure there will be plenty of changes coming down the pike. I don't think the growth of marijuana in Shasta County has exploded. I think the awareness of the growing of marijuana for medicinal purposes and recreational purposes, I think the awareness is heightened. But this definitely is a topic of discussion in a lot of circles.
So how many dispensaries should be allowed in Shasta County?
I think what the market will bear. I think if you're operating a legal business we will at some point settle on what's legal and what's not legal. But if you're a legal retail business or a legal cooperative, then I don't think we should limit it to one or 50. It's what the market will bear. It's what the demand of the public.
A true capitalist.
Absolutely.
Answer. Hey, I'm all for
absolutely.
That. You know, the ones that'll make it, make it. Rules. Rules about where they can be. Rules about single wall, sharing single wall dwellings.
Well, it's like everything else. I think that you should have as much freedom as we can possibly give you, but your freedom ends where my nose begins. And in some cases, it's flailing your arms about. In other cases, it's odors that are offensive to people. And the supporter of medical marijuana crowd says that the odor is not offensive, and the neighbor says the odor is offensive. So we've got to find some common ground, and so there's going to have to be some rules, and there's going to have to be some give and take, period.
Well, we're going to have a caller in tomorrow that has a place up in Hayfork, that beautiful place, but somebody from the low, the Flatlanders down in L.A. bought some acreage right next to them, clear-cut it. You probably are familiar with this.
Heard about it.
Yeah, well, she's going to be on the show tomorrow. She's going to call in and talk about what has happened and the impact that's had on her life. You know, we talk about marijuana. Marijuana is not going to go away. It's you know, I don't know what kind of political
stances is, but frankly, I could care less if somebody wants to smoke something or put it in their veins. I don't care. As long as, one, nothing's being sold to children, and two, I don't have to pay for it somehow. In other words, if you're going to make a lifestyle choice, then fine, you take responsibility for it. Otherwise, you know, kill yourself. People will do that. But
I tend to agree with a few reservations.
Okay, but it's the whole thing with me is that as a county supervisor, you have a great deal of power. Some people, so much of this, you know, is delegated by the feds or the state. I believe that the county supervisor has a heck of a lot of power if you all choose to use it. What are ways that you can protect things like water and forestry and logging and things like that? You know, Chris, I'm just throwing these at you because I'm going with everybody like this. We need to take back our county and take control of some of our assets.
Well, it all begins with the American dream of owning land and being free to use your land the way you see fit without being told by the king or by, you know, big government what you can and can't do on your property. You want to grow a tree, grow a tree. You want to cut your trees, cut your trees. It's the same thing as what I said a minute ago. You should be free to do just about anything you want until your freedom, infringes on your neighbor's freedom. If you want to cut the trees on your property and it doesn't adversely affect the environment in the area, then you should be able to cut the trees on your property, whether it's 1 acre or 1,000 acres. If it adversely affects the environment in the area, then there's some other rules that we've got to follow. If you want to grow medicinal marijuana on your property and it doesn't affect your neighbor, then that's fine with me. If you're operating within the law, then have at it. But if you're creating a public nuisance, then your freedom is infringing on your neighbor's freedom, and then there's some other rules that come into play.
You know, I see that as a supervisor, can you give the people that own the land a right to log their land?
You can. Unfortunately, the timber harvest rules, the state forestry rules regulate what you can and can't do as far as timber harvest on your property, but county government has input on that, and county government needs to be ever vigilant for looking out for the rights of the property owners here and doing everything they can to help you get past every stumbling block to accomplishing what you want to accomplish on your property. A lot of homeowners don't realize they go buy 5 acres out in the hills, build a nice house, and they think, well, 10 years from now we'll log the back couple of acres back here and recoup some of our investment. And then they find out that when you've got 3 acres or more, you have to have a timber harvest plan. A timber harvest plan is basically an environmental impact report. You could be spending $40,000, $100,000. Just to get a nice binder full of paper with scientific evidence or opinions of what you should and shouldn't be able to do on your own property.
Yeah, and that's what it is opinions. And it's like we just got another email from somebody. We're going to have them on how now they've expanded the spotted owl, hiatus from 1 year to 2 years before you can start logging. I've got that someplace. We've got that gentleman or his representative will also be on. It's a third strike against our logging industry up here by a bunch of people from Flatlands. Hey, we got to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Chris Young, running for supervisor of the 5th District. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading.
Yeah!
Yeah!
I'm sorry.
This is KCNR 1460. Got to get it up. 52 degrees right now. It's going to be high today. Mostly sunny with a high of 70. It's May 20th. You know what? Tomorrow I turn the big old 52.
Oh, you know, I mentioned that while you were gone. I wasn't going to say how old you were.
I'm excited. I feel great. I feel like it's the best time of my life. I never look back. I think it only gets better. In fact, when Carl came back from Iraq, I used to think to myself, the best is yet to come. And I really believe that every day. The best is yet to come. You have to have that attitude. It's 8:34 in the morning, and if you're just getting up, think about that. Today when your feet hit the ground and you're out there, smile at people. You know, it really does help your disposition. Smile at people. And our guest today is Chris Young. He's always smiling. He's running for District 5 Supervisor. Good morning, Chris. And I want to ask you, what's your biggest passion?
What's my biggest passion? Being waking up in the morning and being happy all day. That's my biggest passion right there.
How about your, what would you say if you had to select the first thing on your political, I don't want to say ambition, but you have to be ambitious to do what you're doing. So let's just say you are ambitious, and everyone running is ambitious. You're ambitious for change. What's the first thing you would do if elected? What's the number one thing on your agenda?
Number one goal is to have the rest of the world recognize Shasta County as being open for business, a good place to attempt to start a business, grow a business, a place where you would want to go and develop a business and raise your family and employ local people. I want the world to know that Shasta County is open for business.
Well, I think that's great. You know, and the thing about it is having watched a couple of projects here and over the last month or two, it seems like we can streamline business, the amount of paperwork and time to get a business started or to approve things if the county wants to.
Correct.
I find that really interesting is why we can't do that all the time. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, if you want to have something and the county wants it, boom.
It's an amazing phenomenon how two similar projects, one can move through the whole process in 6 months and another one takes 36 months or worse. You go to the planning commission meetings or supervisor meetings and an item on the agenda has a couple of numbers in the title of the agenda item. Well, those numbers are sequential order dates. And so here it is, 2010, and you're looking at a project that has the number 6 or 7 in the title of the project. That project was first started in 2006, 2007. It's taken years for it to get to a point where you get an up or a down vote.
But why is that? Is that a staff thing, or is it somebody that, you know, that so you have to go in there and stand on their desk while they're in there playing cards, which I've heard before, you know, to ask about things? Is that something? Is it lack of supervision on somebody's part? What's going on?
It's all of the above. It's lack of supervision. It's lack of a process. It's lack of a standard that they will live by. It's the squeaky wheel gets the most notice, and sometimes it's politics. There have been projects that have been stalled and parked until the timing is right for staff or for the supervisors, instead of respecting the rights of the investor who's, you know, spent tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars wanting to get to the point where they get a yes or a no vote, and they're sitting and waiting.
Yeah, that's all they should give is a yes or no vote. There should be able to streamline some of this, and it's got to be a way to do that.
There is.
Well, how?
Procedures. You know, there need to be procedures in place for moving a project through the system, and the procedures need to be followed without fail. First in, first out, and, you know, in defense of staff, there are projects proposed where the investors, the person proposing the project, doesn't follow up with information that they need, don't provide information that they need, and that slows things down. But still, frequently it's a complete package, and still it takes months and months, longer than it should, because staff doesn't move it through the different departments in an expeditious manner and stay on top of it.
Okay. Why can't there be, I mean, maybe there is, and tell me if there is, are there weekly or biweekly reports that go for every project up through Larry Lee's up into the Board of Supervisors? So you can keep track of this. So you'll see that this project that started on November 1st, 2007, why is it hung up? And there should be a reason why it's hung up. And if there is no reason, except we haven't gotten to it yet, it's time to put the boot up somebody's butt.
It doesn't appear to be any process like that.
I am appalled to hear that. Let's go to the phones. John, you're on line one.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Good morning.
Appalled, John, appalled.
Chris, I have a question for you.
Do you have a question for Carl the Appalled?
Yeah, Carl is always appalled.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I'm glad that he has got a rag for that boot.
Okay.
You have a rag for the boot.
I'm not going to take that any further.
I like the visual.
Yes, there you go. Okay, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I've got to ask you the generic question that I ask every candidate running for office.
Okay.
You're running against Les Baugh. And and Corky.
Uh-huh.
What makes you unique to those two that we should vote for you rather than them?
An attitude that the American dream is the bottom line, that the rights to use your property as you see fit is of the utmost importance. The other two candidates in this race at public forums and debates have both repeatedly stated that that we shouldn't be able to use, we shouldn't be able to develop this property over here, this vacant land, until we fill that vacant building over there. And that's an attitude of you know, a demagogue. That's not respecting private property rights. We don't own that vacant land over there. You as an investor wanting to develop your piece of land should be able to make a proposal and put it before the boards for a yes or a no vote without politicians and bureaucrats running around telling you what you can or can't do with your project until the whole project is in front of the board that makes the decision.
I think that's a very unique distinction. Have you and Corky and Les had any debates, and are you planning on before the election?
It's getting late on the calendar.
We've had multiple
forums. We've had a couple of debates. I don't believe we have any more debates scheduled between now and June 8th.
That's too bad. I'd love to hear the three of you discuss that specific issue.
There were quite a few opportunities out there. Sorry you missed them.
I've seen Corky speak, and I have seen Les speak a number of times. Unfortunately, I was out of town when you were there. But I will look more into your background and see what I can find out, and I'm very impressed with your answer.
Thank you.
Hey, John,
yes.
You can also go back to archives on Free Fire Radio because we've had them all on. In fact, we're going to try and get Les back on again here, you know, in the next week or so we can make sure everybody had their equal opportunity.
Moment in the sun.
Right, so then I can ask him why, or if there are ways that we can keep track of all these business proposals and how they're working through.
I think that would be an important
I look at projects, and you've run projects before, John, and we've all done that you have a schematic that tells you where you are for each part of this project.
And the timeline.
And if this one isn't done here, then how it's going to impact, 6 months down the road. I'm surprised if we don't have something like that. But we'll find out. John, thanks so much for your
Excellent.
Phone call.
You guys have a wonderful day.
All right.
Thanks,
Enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Doc.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. And Linda's getting inundated with emails here, but send her one at linda@kcnr1460.com. The difficult thing we have is when Cotton Eye Joe plays, Chris Young is dancing across the studio here. We got him back, though. Okay, Chris, it's June 8th is the big day?
Big day.
When's the mudslinging going to start? Y'all are playing pretty much up, an upright,
Maybe it's not going to get too bad. We're all trying to stay focused on the issues.
That's good. That's good. Same thing with Lamoff and Keene. They both, I haven't seen one derogatory ad from either one of those. And I applaud you guys. I applaud you. Let me ring the bell. Here are two Republicans going for that same spot, and they could probably throw some mud if they wanted to, but they have fought it out on the issues, and I admire that, and I respect that, as opposed to Whitman and Poizner, who I think, how are you going to tell who wins? Because after they finish rolling in the mud and they walk out of the pigsty, how are you going to tell the difference between them?
Right.
It's just my opinion. Okay, Chris, back to you.
But there are plenty of issues to talk about and differences between what the incumbent has done and what I would do without slinging any mud.
Right. Okay. Well, just give us an example of that.
An example is support for firefighters. Go talk to any Anderson fireman and ask him who he supports for county supervisor. Les Baugh lives two blocks away from the fire hall. He could walk over there and talk to them anytime. Yesterday, they told me they haven't seen Les in years, hasn't walked through their door.
What other things?
When Les was a city councilman, he voted against putting a second fireman on engines. Cal OSHA and just plain safety says that you should have at least two men and preferably three on an engine when it rolls. Anderson's the busiest fire department in the county, and they go on the most calls per month, per year, and they roll frequently with one man on an engine. Playing politics with the LAFCO board instead of putting the most knowledgeable person in Northern California in place at an open seat on the LAFCO board. Another person from Redding was put on the LAFCO board per the incumbent's wishes.
Okay. I know the city of Redding is saying they have two per engine when they roll, but they say they have to have a third one there, I think, before they can go into a house or do something.
Cal OSHA rules say that you should have backup. You need somebody out there making sure the pump doesn't quit running while you're inside, and you should have somebody watching your back while you're inside. You know, if the building's engulfed, there's heating and cooling units and other things, chimneys that could be falling down on you, roof that could be falling down on you. You need somebody watching your back while you're in there fighting the fire and trying to save lives.
Okay. You want to tell everybody that Shasta County is open for business. How would you do that?
Well, first you've got to change the attitude, and when the attitude's changed, then you can the perception will change, and people coming to the area wanting to relocate a business here or wanting to start up a business here, they'll go around and they'll talk to the supervisors, they'll talk to city councilmen, they'll talk to staff at government agencies, and then they'll go talk to other business owners in the area and see what the true attitude is towards business growth and development and full employment in Shasta County. And then they'll look at the education of the masses and can we hire enough people for our business here. I showed properties and toured around Shasta County with the site development, the site locator for Intel. And they looked at Shasta County. They figured without a four-year college and without a 200-acre parcel for sale that they could build their facility on, they couldn't operate in Shasta County. They went to Arizona, built their facility, and hired 2,000 people. You know, we need to be working every day towards a four-year university. We need to be promoting on the Internet. Shasta County is open for business, but we've got to be able to back it up. When somebody comes to town and checks around, we've got to be able to back up the statement that we're open for business and that we want you to employ people here. We want entrepreneurs, if you want to start a business in your garage, we want the county to help you to get up and running if it's legal for you to be operating a business in your garage. Look at Microsoft and Hewlett Packard, started in at home in somebody's garage. You know, where are those people going to start their business tomorrow?
If you can grow marijuana in your garage and it's legal, you ought to be able to start a business that that hires some people besides that.
Carl, you're really hung up on this marijuana thing.
Well, the thing is that, you know what, again...
Hey, it's coming, and it's a big wave.
I use that as an example.
You used what?
I use it as an example people are growing marijuana, which is not against the law, and it seems to be that, okay, we can do that, but you have somebody that wants to start a software business or, say, a hardware business in their garage. I bet they have more rules and regulations than you do if you just, I've got to grow like eight plants in here.
I wouldn't bet against you on that.
That's what I'm talking about. And there's something wrong with that. Not that, you know, there's got to be something that makes it easier instead of making it harder. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. We got to take a quick break here. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Glad you got a rag to clean those boots.
Yeah. Get that.
Love it. Okay, today, mostly sunny with a high of 70. It's currently 54 degrees. The weather's always brought to you by our favorite destination getaway in Salmo Vineyards.
We'll be there this weekend.
Oh, yeah. And, we have just been on fire with all of our candidates here and with us this morning. In case you're just tuning in with the last 5 minutes of our show, is Chris Young, who is running for supervisor of District 5.
And if you just tuned in, you've missed a lot of good stuff. Endorsements for or against that have come out. Did they impact on you?
The positive endorsements, the people that are supporting me, has a great positive impact on me. The Record Searchlight did not endorse me. I that's a badge of honor. The Record Searchlight doesn't usually endorse the winner.
Okay, we have an email coming in that to be asked to you, which, of course, we will do. And he says, this four-year university is pie in the sky. What's your plan B for economic development in Shasta County?
We always have to be pushing for a four-year university. It could happen someday. It's a marketing issue. This last go-around, the UC Regents just didn't receive a strong enough proposal, and Shasta County couldn't back up the claims that we were ready for it. We need to do some prerequisites here so that when we go out and pursue a four-year university, we can back up the claims that we make that this is where they want to go. This is where they need to be next time out.
Well, and that may be, but say that's going to take years because the budget right now is they're not going to be building any colleges or universities anywhere.
You got to be planning years in advance.
And I agree, but...
And you can't falter.
What about, though, for right now, if we're bringing people in saying, is there, you know, Shasta College, something else? Is it an electronics thing? Is it a trade school thing that you can offer people?
Well, you can get a great education here in Shasta County from Shasta College, Simpson University, National University, and online extension courses from Chico. But you can take courses from any college on the planet now online. We need to, work on letting the world know that people here are trained and are employable, and this is a place to start a business, and we've got people here willing to work and will show up for work and do a good job.
Okay, Chris, we just have a couple minutes left. Why don't you roll it up and tell our listeners what you stand for and what you're going to give them if elected.
Well, I've hit on business. We need employers to, I think I've covered, we need employers to be hiring people and creating jobs. And property rights, public safety, we need to support our firemen and our sheriff. We need to keep the jail open. We need to keep the sheriff's deputies on the lake, a very, very vital service that's provided by government. We need to fix District 5 before we fix Interstate 5. If we're going to spend local tax dollars on roads, it needs to be on roads like Gas Point Road, making a safe access to school, Ponderosa Road, making safe access to Black Butte School up there. I would like to mention that I'm really proud of some of my big sponsors, Kim Chamberlain, who works really hard on Veterans Affairs, Dr. James and Yvonne Tate, and Anderson, John Shera, local legend in the engineering business, Bob Reed, former coach in Anderson, and Trish Clark, and your friend, Rivera Jansomo, all big supporters of my campaign.
Well, Chris, one thing that comes to mind is how does one follow you in the next, until Election Day, as far as where you're going to be so people can ask you about the issues?
You can call me on my cell phone, 515-4809. You can go to my website, young4five.com. You can email me, chris@youngforfive.com.
So you got it all out there then, so people should be able to get a hold of you. Now, do you have any more public appearances here in the next week or two?
Tomorrow afternoon, after the Veterans Affair, we're having a trap shoot on Black Butte Road. Come up and shoot some trap with us. Saturday evening, we're having a little fun, no-charge get-together in Cottonwood, out Gas Point Road, and I'll post that on my website so you can find that if you'd like to stop by for that or give me a call.
Great. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Chris Young, he's running for District 5 Supervisor. Our guest tomorrow is going to be Kurt Starman, and he's going to be talking about the state of the city, and plus, who knows how many other questions that people will probably have for Kurt, as do we. We also will have a lady on, Christine, who's going to talk about the growth of marijuana next to your home, how that can affect you. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.
Fox News.